In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst.
He was, is, and always shall be.
So today, 2 weeks before the celebration of the Feast of the Incarnation Nativity, we have several messages and several events that we present in this day of the 11th Sunday of Luke. It's the Sunday of the Holy Forefathers and Mothers, the righteous men and women of the Old Testament, those who throughout the history of the people of God, the Israelites, who prepared themselves, who lived their lives in anticipation and preparation for the coming of Christ, the Messiah. Not just a few years or decades or even 100 years, but 1,000 years or more in some cases. These men and women, through their faith, through their life, through their sacrifice, were anticipating, were eagerly awaiting the coming Messiah, the Messiah that had been prophesied, the Messiah that had been promised. And that's why we remember them today, because next week we remember those forefathers and mothers who were the ancestors of Christ. And we'll hear that lengthy gospel where we go through all the men and women down the lines from the beginning, from Adam, all the way to Christ. But today we remember those men and women who, while they may not have been necessarily in the ancestry of Christ, through their faith and through their commitment and through their hope, prepared themselves for the coming of the Lord. We also commemorate a wonderful, and I can use that word because he is known as the wonder worker, Saint Spyridon, a second and third century, born in the second and died in the third century of the church. He was alive and active during the First Ecumenical Council, and tradition tells us that he was present there at that council and made a defense of the doctrine or the teaching of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, but one God. And Saint Spyridon, who was a very humble, uneducated laborer, he was raised and born and raised in Cyprus, in the area then called Trimithundos, or Trimithus. That's why we refer to him as Saint Spyridon of Trimithundos in the commemorations. And he was illiterate. He was not educated as we would understand educated, but he was educated through the very same presence, or the very same spirit that he had, that the forefathers and mothers had, with faith, with a commitment, with a love and a humility, anticipating the greater things in life, that is eternal life. And so he was educated in the church, and ultimately he served in the church, was a priest, and compelled, to use the word that we heard in the parable today, was compelled to become a bishop. Even though during this period of time when he served as a clergyman, he would still, when he had time, go back to his home and shepherd. He was a shepherd, a literal shepherd, as well as a spiritual shepherd. And that's why you see in his icon, unlike some of the other hierarchs of the church, he has a shepherd's hat on his head. Here, and I was just looking up, I'd forgotten that we have an icon of Saint Spyridon up here as well. But right over here, you can't see, he's got a shepherd's cap on. And that reminds us of his humility, of his calling, literally as a shepherd of sheep, but spiritually as a shepherd of his spiritual flock. So we remember Saint Spyridon today. And then, of course, we heard this wonderful parable, well known to us, or it should be, about the great banquet and all the teaching that we get from this and we understand from this, there is but a few points that I want to make today. A parable, as we know, is a story with a hidden meaning, but a real life application. And this parable, of all the parables, has a very, very real life application for all of us here today and those of us who are not here today. I was thinking about holding off on this sermon until the end, but I didn't want to break what our tradition is because it's really meant to be heard by as many as possible. So those of you who are here and who know this parable, it's your responsibility as preachers of the gospel to go and remind your brothers and sisters, literally and spiritually, about the teaching of this parable. In the time of our Lord, a banquet referred to the message of our Lord. This banquet that he speaks about referred to his message. He was inviting, of course, people to himself. And the invited guests 2,000 years ago were his own people, were the Jews, the Israelites, the very same ones that were commemorating today, but all the people, not just those men and women who accepted Christ as the Messiah before he even came, but those who did not, the whole of the people. And we know they made excuses not to believe, and we heard about these three excuses that were recited in this parable. The poor and the lame who were invited from the city represents, the fathers of the church would say, the Gentiles. Anyone outside of that original group, if you will, of Israelites. That wasn't only Jews who had come to the banquet, but the Gentiles as well. Going out to the highways and the byways and the hedges, as we heard, and compelling everyone to come in, this meant and this means that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be shared, as I just said yesterday in a baptism we had right here, and we hear at every baptism, to be shared with all people, with all nations, with everyone, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of standing in life, regardless of gender, regardless of wherever you are, to all people. As for those who were originally invited, not being welcomed, this would refer to the Jewish temple leadership, the ones who should have been the first to recognize that Christ was the Messiah. They were the ones that were educated, if you will, in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures, in all the messianic prophecies that are there, right there before them. They should have known. But instead, they were the very same ones, or at least the spirit in them was the very same spirit that ultimately called for the crucifixion of the Messiah. Now, as we think about these banquets, there's two banquets. The first banquet is, for us, what we say all the time is the Eucharist, the body and blood of our Lord. Even in the prayers that we read just before you come forward, and even before I receive the body and blood, we speak of this understanding that it's receiving him, that this is a banquet that we are invited to, that this is receiving the Lord through his body and his blood. So we know this and we've heard this. But it's the second banquet that I want to speak about today. The second banquet we are invited to is membership in the church. What is membership in the church? The first thing we think of is filling out a card, right? I'm a member. Membership in the church comes with certain blessings and certain responsibilities. But when I say membership, I'm not referring specifically to whatever the guidelines tell us we need to do, or the guidelines in our UPRs or our bylaws or whatever tell us to fill out a commitment card and giving us the right to vote at a parish assembly or to vote in parish council elections That's not the membership that I'm referring to, even though that is something that we understand. I'm speaking about belonging to the church. Because many people feel that the church belongs to me. That this church is here for me. What do I get out of this? This is my area. This is my place. This is for me, this particular ministry organization or this particular expression of our parish. It's for me. Rather than I am here for the church. I'm speaking about belonging to the church. That the church doesn't belong to anyone. This church doesn't belong to any of us. I mean, I'm not just speaking about, certainly most importantly, the body of Christ, but even this church right here doesn't belong to any of us. Because this church that we're in here today, this sanctuary, was built by our forefathers and mothers, by generations before us. Yes, we sustain it. Yes, we support it. And before this church was even here in Dallas, the people that were the ancestors of that supported it wherever they were and wherever they came from. You see, the church, the body of Christ, it transcends all of that. Because these things will go away, just like we will go away. But the body of Christ, being a member, being a branch in the vine, being connected to the root of Jesse, as we say in the hymns, which is Christ himself, that is belonging to the church. So when we join the church, we are joining ourselves to Christ. At the baptism service that I just mentioned, I said this yesterday, and those of you who have been chrismated over the years will know this. Those of us who were baptized, our godparents said this on our behalf. But ultimately, each and every one of us must understand this and accept it. I say, do you unite yourself to Christ? Three times I say this, right back there in the narthex. Do you unite yourself to Christ? If we choose to belong to this parish, if we choose to belong to the Orthodox Church, we are in fact belonging to Christ. And the greatest benefit to belonging to the church and belonging to Christ is our potential, the gift of eternal life. Of salvation. It's not just simply that we can be in our respective ministries or organizations, or we can have a place to go, a place to do what we bring our gifts. It's so much greater than that. This is being invited to the banquet. This is what the banquet is. Some of the other benefits, if you want to use that word, are the sacraments, the mysteries, grace, forgiveness, mercy. And those are just a few of the wonderful gifts of belonging to Christ. But there are also responsibilities. If we belong to Christ, it presupposes us having a desire and an interest in developing a relationship with Christ. Not just mentioning it or talking about it or saying, I'm a Christian. But having a relationship with Christ through our prayer, through our worship, through our receiving of the first banquet, the Eucharist, through the love that we show each other, through the respect that we show the church and each other, through the patience that we have with each other, through our desire to follow, if we follow Christ and say we are a Christian, to follow and understand this second banquet, to invite all people, yes, to the banquet. That's what we are called to do. That's what this parable means. And that's what our Lord was telling those people, both the ones who did, and more importantly, the ones who did not. One would think there would be an expectation to come and worship regularly and on time, to contribute to the life of our parish. to be involved in the ministries and be involved in some kind or some level of service in our community here and in our community out there. Some may say, I object. I don't agree that there should be expectations to belonging to the church, to being a member of the church, to being part of the body of Christ. But again, remember that we belong to the church. The church doesn't belong to us. And in belonging to the church, really, really, we all belong to Christ. So, will we accept this invitation to this second banquet? I think if we accept this invitation to this second banquet, we will so much more desire to receive the first banquet, the Eucharist. It won't be just something we do because our parents did it or our grandparents did it, because it's part of what we do on a Sunday or in a liturgy. It's because it truly is receiving the body and blood of Christ. It truly is belonging to Christ. It truly is accepting that invitation, and it truly is. It leads us and guides us and brings us in to the greatest gift of being invited to the banquet, and that is eternal life. Amen.